We've got a couple incredible sponsors that always help us put this show on. First up, Multicraft Daddy. Multicraft underscore daddy. Open up your Instagram app. Send him a DM. He sends out gifts every single week. And if you give him your email address, you also can get 10% off your first order. Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies have been around for over 50 years, providing the industry with top brands at competitive prices. So as usual, send your info over to his Instagram account and you'll be entered to win. Usually sends out a bunch of PMI tape every single week. So that is awesome. Next up, Stalls.com. If you're ready to take your custom apparel to the next level, Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. We were just at their new facility launch in Michigan. Unbelievable to see that in person. It's such a cool company. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand scaling, Stalls makes the hustle easy. They're here to simply heat press to help you heat press and profit. So they got equipment, transfers, and support to help you out. Use the code HUSTLER20. That's 20% off your next DTF transfer order. It's HUSTLER20. GraphX Source. GraphX offers industry-leading outsourcing options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo, and they just manage the SEPs, mockups, creative art, digitizing, some back office admin, and customer service. They've been doing it for 40 years, so they've been in the game for quite some time, and they work with tons and tons of shops. If you mention the code PRINTAVOPOD24, that's 50% off your first order to give them a try. So that's PRINTAVOPOD24. EasyWay.com. This is the URL to use, EasyWay.com/giveaway. If you enter, this is actually a big giveaway, $250 every single month of product giveaway. So they've got this monthly giveaway program to give back to their amazing customers. $250 of product credit, easyway.com/giveaway. EasyWay makes reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their EasyWay systems, chemicals, and equipment.
What's in the cup?
Just a latte. Like a small hobby right now is trying to froth milk correctly. Shockingly hard.
How many milk frothers have you bought?
This is the second, and I was at Best Buy last night actually looking at the third. I guess they need more power in the steam thing. If anyone makes like little lattes or cappuccinos or whatever, you know, just frothing milk in the morning and has nailed it, please leave a comment.
Is it not like frothy enough?
The way you get that creamy milk texture that you can get at a coffee shop, you need a powerful espresso machine that can really pump out steam.
You need that like Miel thing. Gosh, you're going to have like a whole rig.
Yeah, I'm not as crazy. So some of these people will measure grams of you know, like coffee beans and espresso and all this stuff. I'm not there, and hopefully not. Just trying to get the basics.
Bruce, you haven't downloaded Opal yet, have you?
No Opal, but yeah, my mornings, I don't know. If you ever have like the morning where you get up nice and early, you've got this plan laid out. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this and this. And then, you know, it's like 5-10 minutes on Twitter or something, 5-10 minutes on Instagram, a couple minutes, you know, on email. And then it's like 45 minutes later. And it's like, I didn't need to do any of that. I could have just gotten up and got moving.
Opal is dope. In the morning, you can set different times. So right now it's work time. And work time is on my phone. And if I want to take a break, so it blocks all my social apps. It also blocks LinkedIn because I found that I just like doom scroll on LinkedIn and think that's productive. But if I want to take a 15-minute break, I have to play a game. So I can either do a math battle or a game of averages. And once I solve that, you have to solve a handful of them. So 8 minus 14 is 6, 5 minus 13 is 8, 7 minus 12 is negative 5. And then it like is trying to basically show you like, hey, you don't really need this right now.
Yeah, and then you quit.
And then I can say, okay, continue. Let me take a quick break. And then this would be my second break of the day because I took one 30 minutes ago. But you set the time limit and then it's like, okay, I'm going to doom scroll for 5 minutes and it'll kick me back out. It has drastically changed my social media use.
That's good. That's positive.
I sent you a referral link. Why haven't you downloaded it yet?
Well, I go on these binges where I'll use it for a bit and then I just delete it for a month or 2 months and that clears it. But I found that for me helps a lot because the web version of Instagram or whatever the other apps are is really slow and really bad. And so it's not addicting like the mobile app.
You know
version.
When something's really good for a person, but they just won't do it?
Yeah.
Should I just buy you this for a year? It's like $4 a month.
How do you keep up if you're not on that? How do you keep... So like when I was off of it for a month or two, I felt like I missed some things with friends and things going on because I just... That's where people are posting updates.
But it's just in moderation. So like it's okay to go on social media. It's okay to do all those different things at different times of the day, right? Like... I'm not a parent, but all of y'all have kids and you understand the whole screen time thing. We as adults also need responsibility with our screen time. So when 5 o'clock hits, it allows me to go on social media. So I'll go on for a little bit, but then at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, it's wind down time. So it actually blocks them. And so I'm like, oh, I can just get my fix in for a little bit in the evenings. And then you can set like different limits on different things. So you can say like, I want to work out in the morning. And I want to block these different apps. So you like kind of block your day. And what it's allowed me to do is like, I don't go on social media until the evenings.
I like that. Do you also use Do Not Disturb during the day?
I use Do Not Disturb. And I just like to keep it in focus mode. The other thing I like to do is just like put my phone in my backpack and I'll just forget about it. And then I'm like, oh, it's been in my backpack for the last hour. Okay, no big deal. But like, I feel like when you keep, one of my biggest pet peeves is when our staff has their phones like face up on their desk like this, and they just like keep looking down at it. It's like, put it away, put it in a drawer, put it somewhere else. These are things that bother me, but I need to be a better example of it. So everyone should download Opal.
Pronouncer's Conf 2025, back in Chicago, back where it started. MadeLab had a ton of different speakers. There was the Inktabo like new feature and kind of product roadmap day. That was kind of cool. I thought just a quick highlight of the first day, there was the Inktabo Order My Gear merger. James was able to talk a little bit about that. Rebecca, who runs product across Inktabo product teams, was able to share the different things that they worked on this year and then also what's in the roadmap for next year, which I thought was awesome. Things like analytics, things like time-based automations, a smaller security thing, actually, which they're buttoning up now, which is two-factor authentication. So, you know, when those apps you log in and like text you, that's that for logins, as security is definitely more of a thing with so much of your info in these accounts. So there was a lot of really neat stuff there. And then the speakers. So, actually, before we get to the day speakers, I thought Matt Marcotte's talk about AI as well on the first day was really, really cool. So Matt Marcotte has been building, I think you can get to the website, maybe marcotte.inc. And he's been building a ton of these AI-based tools. So anything that is a problem in your shop, he's literally been building the solution for. One after the other. I think he's got like 10 or 15 different ones. I'll find the...
And I think he's just launched a website like printshopdata.com or something like that. I saw something.
Yes, that's what I was trying to find.
What's really funny is Matt was wearing an AI wearable. Did he show you this thing? It was like this business card. And he had it on the desk there. And it recorded all the talks and sent beautiful notes of every speaker.
That's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, Matt's been building like box label generators, gang sheet uploaders. And what's really cool is Matt's a no-code guy. Matt used to sell ink and supplies, and now he's just an AI nerd. So anyone can do it. If Matt can do it, you can do it.
You can go to, just follow markout.inc on Instagram. And I think some of the things that were really neat was really just showing you, look, if you do have an operational problem or you wish that something would connect to that, you know, Matt's not a coder. And so Matt's been using these tools to help build solutions for him. Things like Claude Code and things like Cursor. So between those two, he's able to, you know, you can write out all your prompts. You start very small, you work on little features, and you continue to build it and integrate solutions together. So look out for that. It's like printshopdata.com, I believe. So, all right. The main day of speakers, first one, actually another AI talk, but a little bit different. Rob Cressy. I like this because there's a lot of people that are just getting into AI. So I think sometimes we talk about maybe where we're at in the journey. There's a lot of people that are saying, well, I just maybe talk to the app, or what do you mean? Like, what is the app? You know, how do I get started? And Rob basically said, here's the three highlights, right? So number one, go to chatgpt.com and pay for the $20 a month plan just right away. The amount of additional functionality you get is huge. Number two, go into settings, personalization, and then add more info about you, who you are, who you serve, and how you communicate and work. That helps customize this tool to work better for you. And then lastly, when you ask it to help you do anything, this could be data analysis, your Printavo order data. This could be asking it to help write an email marketing campaign based on a thing that you guys just did. Tell it to act as a blank. So act as an expert, you know, in the field of email marketing. Act as a data analysis, you know, person, right? And then talk about the prompt of what you're looking for. If you're looking for even help, right, with the business, act as Tony Robbins, for example, or Alex Hormozi, and then describe the problem. And that tends to get way, way better results.
I think what was really cool about Rob, and you can follow him on Instagram, is he talks about like the change management of getting your team, like adopting it, you know, having it look at the tone and the voice of your marketing. And he actually did a full AI flow on there to start a business from scratch. And what I'm trying to get my team to do, and the inspiration here is, before you ask Google, or before you ask someone, why don't you just ask ChatGPT? Like, what would you do here? What would you do here? What would you do here? So I thought that was super, super cool. A lot of really, really good energy. And it was an awesome, awesome way to kick off the day. And then we had Alex the Economist, and he's becoming a household name in the printing industry, I feel like. Alex the Economist. But every single time he comes, he brings a new edge. And what's cool is I think we started listening to him, I don't know, 3-4 years ago now, Bruce. And he follows like geopolitical trends, and he tries to take a very like apolitical approach. But every single time I hear him talk, I have a sense of relief and I feel okay. How do you feel? How'd you feel after listening to him this time?
I agree. I love the data, but he has a way of distilling through the crazy media cycles and, you know, always feeling like it's doomsday tomorrow and just showing you data about what is truly going on. I'm going to drop a link to his LinkedIn in the description because he posts a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. So if there's anything that you pull from this, I would definitely just give him a follow or connect or however you can follow along his post. A couple highlights from this. So he talked about tariffs. Tariffs have been a big thing. You know, it's difficult to understand. What exactly does this mean? Not today, but what do tariffs really mean in a year, 2 years, 5 years? And his viewpoint is, as an economist, is that tariffs tend to take 9 to 18 months to truly work their way through the supply chain. And after they do that, you historically will see inflation slightly. And that could mean 4 to 5% by end of next year, potentially. So there's a lot of asterisks, right? It's a prediction, but it is something to note. How did you think about that when you heard that?
Yeah, I think what's cool is like I heard him at ThreatX talk about tariffs. Now he's talking about tariffs, but what he's really talking about is like the long-term effects. We're not going to really see things happen for 9 to 18 months. But I thought what was really cool, he's overlaid Printavo data with like leading indicators in the market to see that the Printavo data is actually a pretty true indicator of how to project like how sales are going to go. But then he took it a step further this time and he took Printed Threads' data from Brett Bowden and he overlaid it on top of there to see like how true it was for one specific print shop. And he did say, and like what Brett can confirm is like there was a small downswing last year and it's starting to come back up a little bit. So I thought that was pretty cool that he was able to layer that in as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're right. The leading indicators, there's a chart called the clothing retail sales that he talks about. And it's on this website called FRED, which is Federal Reserve Bank. And if you just search retail sales, clothing and clothing accessories, FRED, F-R-E-D, you can pull up this chart. This chart is the demand and the sales that are happening in the apparel, just general apparel, but it tracks almost one-to-one with the Printavo open source data that we released a while ago about new orders coming in. So the ebbs and flows, the seasonality, it's all very similar. Now, what he says is that leading indicators do show roughly that in 12 months, we may see a bit of a slowdown. So not significant, but a bit of a slowdown. So basically what now? And his takeaways were, as best you can, make decisions based on data. The data of your customers, the profitability of certain customers or unprofitability of certain customers, you know, overhead, things like that, looking really deep in the data. Grab market share is the key to new growth, less from existing growth, which I think we've been utilizing for a long time. Seek cost savings up and down the supply chain. And also competitive pay is the key to retention. Those are his 4 points with dealing with this. So that was Alex the Economist.
We've done an episode with Alex as an interview, so you can check it out. But he is just, he's awesome to listen to. Probably my favorite part of the day. So Print Hustlers this year was hosted at Second City, one of the original improv sketch comedy centers of Chicago, where a bunch of the SNL greats have come. And they actually put on an hour and a half exercise with their team, using like improv to learn how to work as a team, to learn how to work as a leader. And by the end of it, Justin Lawrence didn't have his shirt on. So it definitely worked.
This was one of those yes and exercises. If you've ever done an improv class, it is kind of cool. And I think it helped everybody either like conversate better, but also be able to understand how it feels if, you know, your ideas are struck down right away, or if your ideas are agreed upon, but you could tell that they're just going along with you, right? And so it kind of maybe put the owners in, I think, more of an employee shoes to help give a sense of empathy or perspective of how to make sure to lead better, how to give a bit of feedback better, for example, or really how to be able to share new ideas of things that you want done, but how to get the whole team together and rowing in the same direction.
I thought what was cool is we split out into groups of three. And first they said, all right, everyone figure out, we need an A and a B and a C in a group. And they just let the groups kind of figure it out. And they said, did anyone in their group have someone that just said, you're A, you're B, you're C? And they're like, okay, maybe you need some work on not dominating a group. And then they're like, did anyone just sit back and say, I don't care what I am, I'll be C or B, or you can be A? It's like, okay, maybe you need some work. And so every step of the exercise was just group, you know, how to work together as a group. I thought the most interesting part is when we were able to riff ideas. It's like come up with an idea for a party and you had to shut it down over and over again. And every time you would shut it down, you'd be like, ah, and you'd have to rebut. But that feeling of like just getting shut down, I wonder how many times I have employees that just get shut down and it's just like this this crippling feeling that they have. And then you flip the exercise and do the opposite and you lean into it and say, yes, and we can do this. Yes, and we can do this. So there's obvious compromise. I thought it was super, super cool. Very, very fun. It's kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyways? It's kind of neat. So I thought that was super, super rad.
Sanmar had a similar big sponsor of the conference, which everyone really appreciates. I thought what they were cool, what was cool that they shared is they have this new 3D product visualizer, especially for embroidery, which is really neat. And so you can literally apply a design. It looks exactly like you can rotate the hat or whatever, you know, garment that you're putting embroidery on and be able to zoom in to the actual embroidered design. And I thought that was neat as you know, mock-ups get better with AI and tech as we go on, right? Is like, can you help reduce mistakes? Can you help reduce confusion? Does that help convert more quotes to quote approved and moving into an order phase? That seemed neat, right? I feel like if a customer can really, really see this stuff and maybe at some point they use their webcam and can see them on them really quick, I feel like that could help convert a lot of jobs over.
And then we heard from Bella Canvas, Megan and the team there. I thought what was interesting was the perspective they took on talking about the brand, the image, and the why behind things and how that sells longer than just the shirt. And how to sell a premium product, you're not competing on price, you're competing on all these different value-based trends. And so I think they did an awesome job presenting that, and it makes a lot of sense with Bella and obviously Aloe and the brand that they've built. I thought that was super neat.
All right, Dan Frank, you and I had a little onstage interview with Dan Frank at Silver Screen Printing. We've had Dan on the podcast before, of which we'll drop a link in the description for you if you want to listen to that. Dan is a sharp operator. So Dan comes from outside the space, which I personally always love because I think they have such a unique perspective, and they usually come from more of business driven instead of production driven. That was Dan. We were talking with Dan about his role as a CEO, what he exactly does, but also what is he looking forward to in 2026 to do and not to spend his time doing.
What's cool about Dan is he scaled his company when he bought it from $2.5 million, I think almost
it's like 13 or 14, 15, something nuts.
Yeah. But the type of customers that he deals with, the type of programs, the KPIs that his team has to measure, the culture that he's built. Dan has done an incredible job and is a voice and a leader in our industry in a pretty short time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And his big unlock being able to almost solely focus on sales. So he's got this leadership team that took a good 3-4 years to build around him when he was between kind of 2 to 5-ish million, it sounded like, that allowed him to really, really spend, it sounds like 80% of the time plus on either meeting with that leadership team or just focusing on sales. And he's very targeted. He's talked about this before. He's very targeted with outreach and who the types of people that he outreaches to. And that's how he's driven so much of Silver Screen Printing's sales.
And then Justin and I riffed for a little bit on licensing. I don't know if I scared everyone out of licensing.
Yeah, let me give the talk over. Okay, so somebody in the audience, which is a great question. Hey, how do I get into licensing? Well, fortunately, we have the mogul, the licensing mogul here, Stephen Farag, right? And so this guy has been through it all with licensing. So this is no better chance for Justin and Stephen to talk about this on stage. And Justin having gone through a lot with that too, with the Thunder in Oklahoma. And so, you know, Stephen, you laid it all out, right? So the question is, how do you get into it? How does it work? You know, how do you use that to be able to help grow sales as people have, I think, seen it and it seems enticing, right? You're selling pretty high-end pieces of garments and others want to be able to do that too. Stephen, you laid it all out, right? It's how are you getting licenses for collegiate wear? Where are you going to the companies? The reporting, that there's like all these minimums, the, you know, 10,000 minimum spend or 100,000 minimum spend commitments and the costs and the fees. And like, it was wild. And I think after about 8.5 minutes of you talking straight about it, which was like straight to the point of like, if you wrote this down, you could also do this. I think everyone was like, yeah, we're good. Thank you. I mean, very informative, but we're good. Thank you.
But I think what it does tell you is where, if you want to play in it, where you can. Some people mistake what being an internal vendor, an approved vendor is versus a licensed vendor. What does licensing really mean? Like Justin in Oklahoma, he's not licensed with a Thunder, but he's an approved vendor and they buy from him and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's not to say anyone shouldn't get into it. It's just its own beast. So that was a lot of fun. I got a lot of questions after it.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I think the cherry on top too was someone's final question was, Well, so you've talked about, you've got, I don't know, 140, I'm probably misspeaking, 140, 70, whatever it is, 100 and something different collegiate licenses. And can you just like one click apply and you're done? And you're like, no, you have to go through and get each one. And that's just the apparel. And now we're getting headwear. And it was like, okay, gavel down. We're done. We're wrapping up here.
At Campus Inc., there is a licensing team. We just put it out there. So we have a licensing director, different people that work on it. It's tough, but it's fun. And then we heard from Mike Nemchek. Bruce, what'd you take away from Mike's talk?
Holy cow. All right. So Mike is a guy that works at a company called, I think, Havas, which is an advertising company in Chicago. And Mike specifically does advertising on social media, on Instagram, TikTok, whatever. Mike has been in this space, seems like, for 20 years. He's known the history of, let's just focus on Instagram for a second, the history of advertising on Instagram and how it's changed, how the algorithms changed, how advertising has changed, how it's changed from, they used to promote you to now it's more pay to play, to what resonates with users, to what are the trends now. Like some brands like to have this very polished, like you talked about Bandit running. You go to their Instagram, very polished, very cool and clean look. Then he's talked about, I think it was Diet Coke, which is very raw. And it looks like everyone shot things from a film camera or an iPhone or something, and how they create their themes and how that's more important now. But the big three things that work today, if you're looking to do more advertising on Meta, is A, lean into narrative content to help keep attention. So everyone's swiping and scrolling so much, to be able to hold someone's attention. What is the storyline? Make content that's not just useful, but also entertaining. I'm sure we have seen that, and we'll share it with friends once something is entertaining, even if it is an ad. And then lastly, build content for discovery. Similarly to this channel, I would say the VAT, like 60% or so of listeners find it through YouTube's discovery page. So they are pushing it out to people to discover new content. Someone clicks and starts watching. Most of your views are from non-followers.
I think what was interesting, he found even like a Waffle House in Central Illinois that's gone viral because it's like this consistent lady talking about her pancakes or whatever. But what he was also saying is it's about like creating content that people actually want to watch. So getting people to watch, if they can watch 20 seconds through a video, the algorithm likes it a lot more. So like a really good hook, you'll sometimes see this on TikTok where people say story time and you'll be like, oh my God, this is a 2-minute video. Why am I watching this still? So I thought that was really, really cool. I think the most interesting part is social media has now gone to how do I record in 1 second, get it out there and see if I can get a bite. And we consume, the statistic was the average user consumes 300 feet of social content a day. 300 feet. That's a lot of feet. Your little thumb scrolls 300 feet
at the same time.
Download Opal.
Seriously. You need a coupon code, honestly.
And then we went to Giordano's, had a wonderful evening. And then we had our little fabric breakfast the following morning at a pancake house.
Yeah, thanks folks for coming. I mean, the highlight for me was just everyone hanging out, being able to get together over pancakes, but also some flyers that you made, which I thought was very cool as conversation starters. Can you share some of that?
I found this deck of cards and you can buy it, and it's like where to begin at work. And they're just like conversation starters of my inner critic tells me this. And they're just like 5 good questions that you can ask anyone that are actually deep, meaningful, and thoughtful. And what we were trying to simulate was in Fabric, you meet with a group for once a month, same group, 7 or 8 people and a coach. And you try to have really, really thoughtful and deep conversation. My group meets once a month and it's the favorite time of the month. No one skips it. And it's kind of like group therapy sometimes is what it feels like. So we tried to simulate that at breakfast. It was really cool because we had some of our Fabric members there. I guess that would be our first official Fabric meetup, Bruce. And we're going to do something else at Long Beach. And we got a bunch of people signed up. AS Color donated some hats. So here's our shameless plug. You should all join.
Can you read some of the questions that were on that? Do you have it or the mock-up? I'll talk about the first one when you find it. So one thing is, like, how do we be more, how do we claim the day in a sense? Like, how do we not get dragged through another year based on putting out fires and doing this or that? And one of the questions was, what do you want your role to look like next year? Like, what are the things that you like doing now that you get fired up about? And what are the things that you don't like doing, but you just do all the time? Write it out, talk about it, and try to be proactive about your time.
So one of the questions was, the part of my role that still brings me joy. And I thought that was interesting because every owner does so many things every day, but do they really stop and think what do they actually enjoy doing? Like, do you enjoy designing every day? Do you enjoy talking to your employees and, you know, taking a walk around the shop? Like, what actually brings you joy? Second question was a piece of advice that I still think about, and I have a lot of great mentors in my life, and my business partner Jed's one of my biggest mentors, and I always just like have like his advice in the back of my head. So I thought that was cool. The third question was a work habit that I'm trying to change. So for instance, a work habit that I'm trying to change is not getting on Slack in the morning and just firing off a bunch of messages, but actually letting my team kind of like get situated before I jump in. And then the last question is, what don't you want to spend time doing in 2026? So maybe Bruce, yeah, what if you were in Printop, if you were go back 5 years ago, what would you tell yourself, I don't want to be doing this next year? I could think of like six things that you shouldn't have been doing.
Ooh, can you say those?
Bruce should not have been trying to work on QuickBooks tickets.
That was number one for me, actually. I was going to say I should have let that go. That was one of my quote unquote just do it type things that ended up being 8 years of just doing it.
You would always spend a lot of time buying computer mice.
That was also a stupid, I was like, anything that goes to the office, like, let me take a look. So maybe I could find a cheaper one or something like that. Such a waste of time.
Moved offices like six times. But what you should have spent time doing more was shop tours.
Those videos those were a lot of fun.
Because I just think of like, that was when you were playing and that's when you were connecting with your customers the most. And I don't know, that was when you were in flow state.
I would say also did not need to be at every event and every trade show. Like, the teams got it. Maybe just the major ones to go visit. Did not need to physically fly around the country like a madman.
It's okay. That was the grind. We did meet this individual.
Oh, yeah. Last but not least.
We'll just an AI startup company.
Well, I would say the URL here, questom.ai, QUESTOM.AI. I know he's still kind of working on it, but it's four shops.
So I think his parents owned a print shop in India, like an embroidery shop or something. He is now in Y Combinator, which is where really cool tech companies go and succeed or get sued by, you know, other companies and go out of business. But in this instance, great individual. He built an AI bot, a call service AI bot for every print shop there. And he created business cards for everyone with the phone number on it. And he had a stack of business cards. I kid you not, Bruce, this stack of cards was this big. Mm-hmm. And he's just going and finding the shop and being like, ooh, Logo Daddy, I have yours made. Ooh, Oklahoma Shirt Company, I have
it. It was a hustle.
And whether or not it worked, I don't know how he found all of our information. The hustle that he had was real. Now, Bruce, you and I were talking about this after. If I called a service and an AI bot answered, how would you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think like here's what's interesting, right? I think there is a problem of many shops are not answering their phone, right? And so there's definitely lost leads. There's poor customer service in from current customers. There's a weird feel, right? If you call the restaurant during the day and you get a voicemail and it says they're open, it's a very weird experience. And so, you know, his thought is how can we help relieve this? Can we use, you know, there's so many of these AI bots that are that are handling customer service or helping with it. Can we use that to be able to help the experience there? Now, I think that there is something there. I just don't quite know what it is. For example, if I call a customer service line and a bot can help me with a simple question, sure. But if I want to jump out of this and talk to someone or wait in the queue to talk to someone, like, let me out. You know what I mean? That is the worst trapping if you're like trying to get out of an awful kind of bot conversation. And everybody's been there. Everyone knows that feeling. And they do it via text now. There's like the chat bots and the web app. I will say Intercom has done a much better job. I don't know how they've exactly done it, but for example, I was on a heat transfer warehouse or something, and I was comparing two of those sheets that go under the top, right? And they had, you know, I didn't know what the difference was between why should I get this silicone one or why should I just get this regular paper type one? And they explained it, and it was a bot that compared it and was able to synthesize it. I was very impressed, and that was hugely helpful and saved me time.
So I was talking to John at Logo Daddy about this, and I'm like, okay, what if you called in and you said, press 1 to talk to a human and press 2 if you'd like to try our AI bot? And you just see what happens. Like, if it cuts down 50% of the time, would that be worth it? And would that actually teach you if you have a bias towards it? I don't know. Okay, I want to tell you about something that happened to me this morning. I'm trying to cancel a Comcast subscription, which, if anyone knows, is absolute hell. Can't do it on the web. No, you can do it. You can do it online. But there's some tricks, right? You have to say that there's no service in the place that you're moving to, you know, all that. So I went on the chat bot and I said, I want to cancel service. And they're like, well, you're going to have to talk to someone. So I said, it said, would you like to schedule a call? And I'm like, fine, sure. So I said, schedule a call. It goes, what time? It was like Thursday at 7:45. Perfect. So this morning at 7:45, ring, 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 and it's Comcast. I'm like, hell yeah. I pick up the phone and it sounds like an AI bot. So I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to try this out. So I'm like, I need to cancel my service. It's at this address. Well, you've got 4 different accounts for all these. Is it your Campus Inc. one? Nope, it's this address. So I'm like, okay, they got through that. And I said, you know, why do you need to cancel? And I said, all this thing's like, okay, we can handle this for you. And I'm like, all right, heck yeah. And they're doing it. They eventually cancel. And I was 8 minutes in. And I go, I have a question. Is this an AI bot? Because this person had personality. They were like asking nice things, but it definitely sounded robotic. And they said, no, it's a tool that helps our team. I'm actually in the Philippines to help with translation.
So yes or no?
So it was a voice changer that it was someone
that
on the
changed
other,
someone from the Philippines to not like to remove the Filipino accent,
it,
you mean?
It removed the Filipino accent. It made them sound conversational. And they go, we're in the Philippines. This just helps us communicate better.
Wow.
And I was just like,
that's actually really smart.
And I was like, yes, this was awesome. 11 out of 10 experience. It took 8 minutes to cancel my Comcast and I was so impressed. And so I was like, what tool did you use? And they like,
they didn't share it. Probably didn't know.
Do you want Comcast voice? And I'm like, no.
But that's fascinating. But to your point, that's what I'm trying to say. There are use cases there. And this maybe isn't Questum's, you know, last step. I'm sure they figure out if there are 15 questions that a shop can get on the phone, maybe it solves 5 really, really well. And then the others, yeah, it forwards you over to a person to call you back.
But one of the reasons we have not, like, we've got a team in the Philippines and they're not customer facing is because of the language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally solved it. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
That's insane.
This is beautiful.
Crazy, crazy. I mean, yeah, it's just wild thinking about then. Okay, well, you know, what other countries can you add this onto, especially with different time zones, an international company like that? That's really cool. Good share. All right, Pronouncers, thanks so much for joining us this week on the episode, on the podcast, on the show. We appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.